took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Welcome to another edition of Glorious Day. That day, I'm looking forward to that day when Jesus comes. That will be a glorious day, Barry.
Amen, brother.
I'm Pastor David, and
this is Pastor Barry.
Yep, and we're here to bring God's word to you, and we pray that you become edified, encouraged in these days, and get ready for that that revival that's coming. Last week, we started talking about God's truth. And this week, we're just going to kind of deepen and broaden that discussion a little bit.
Yeah, because it requires a little bit more conversation about that.
We need to hit all sides of that. And so my brother Barry is going to be reading from Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. This is heavy-duty stuff.
That's right.
So while turn your radios up. Yeah, and maybe if you have a Bible, I hope you're having a Bible. You can follow along with us. Again, that's Ephesians chapter 4, mm-hmm. verses 11 through 16.
And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Mm. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. It is the word of the Lord. Now, just to put this in context, and Paul does this a lot in his writings because he's a bishop, mm-hmm. really. In his day, he was an overseer.
Yeah.
They didn't use that title, but apostle is another word that they used more, and he claimed to be an apostle. He certainly was.
Mm-hmm.
But the apostolic mission is one of oversight, and so... And we have bishops all over many of the churches in Christendom today. And so he was in that role as apostle or bishop. He was taking the opportunity in writing to Ephesians to teach them about what it means to be the church and giving some good discipleship training in this fourth chapter and especially in these verses. And that's why we lifted it out,
mm-hmm.
and especially verse 15 through 16, because we're again building on last week's discussion of God's truth. And now we're kind of expanding it a little bit to include something else. And Barry, that would be... I'm sorry. Sound no longer travels at 1,100 feet per second.
I am terrible.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was trying to mouth the word love because you read that verse 14, or rather 15, rather verse 15.
Folks, I wish you could be in the station watching this. We're just two silly old guys that just lost it for a minute. But yes, David, love.
Love, right. And so when we talked about God's truth, how important that is last week, and now Paul puts that word together with love, which we know is godly love too. It's not mm-hmm. just, can't be human love, can it?
No.
No. Because there are various forms, you know, as we express love, as we talk about love,
mm-hmm.
we have various words for that. I'm not going to use them necessarily, but, you know, there's the love that we have for a family member.
Right.
Which is different than the love I have for my wife.
True.
You know, and it's different from the love that I have for what I do, you know, here at the radio station in our church. different ways of expressing that.
That's right.
But when we read this, the most especial meaning is Paul is putting it into the context of when God has given us his truth and his love, and they're working together in and through the church. This is powerful stuff. It actually makes the church what it's supposed to be and what it's supposed to do.
That's right.
And I've heard people say, well, speaking the truth in love, that makes a lot of sense, you know, and then they kind of mutter and then they move on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to stop there. We want to dig into this, right? And Barry, you had some thoughts about that.
Well, the truth in love, Dave and I were talking about this a little while ago, and I always tell David, you know, I want to tell the whole story, but and we all do, the complete story of who Christ is and what he's done and what he's doing. And I was just talking to some of my folks in the nursing home where I work, and you know, they said, well, we can't go talking about Jesus in every situation. What are you talking about? And the example they gave, what if I'm at a barbecue at my brother-in-law's house and I got some good pickers on the guitar and we got the beer and the wine flowing and we got all kinds of things on the grill and the party's really warming up, and I stand up and says, listen, I'd like to tell you the truth in love about what you're doing in your life. And the people blink a little bit and look at you, and you begin to tell them the truth from the Word of God. And several of the fellas that I was talking to said, you know, we're going to be disinvited to that party. And they're going to bounce us off their property and never invite us again. And I said, and if they do, you've already thrown some seeds their way. Because they're going to drive home from that party, or have someone drive them home, hopefully.
Yes.
And they'll think, why was he talking to me about that in that scenario? You know, after they get over, you know, the fact that you ruined the barbecue. But, you know,
I do some takeout before I left, too. Some ribs and some, you know, biscuits and stuff.
This must be important, or he wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
And that seed is hopefully going to die and then blossom, and
right.
It will grow. It's not easy being a Christian, a true Christian, that's got to speak up in every situation.
Yeah.
Representing the body of Christ. No one said it was going to be easy. No one said it wouldn't be uncomfortable. It wouldn't be awkward. But you will be equipped, and you will be ready. And that's the part, I think, the part of all this evangelizing that scares people off.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't want to tell the truth because they're going to lose their friends. They're going to lose their circle of friends, or the people at work will laugh at them, make fun of them, or they might even just, you know, put their hand and say, I don't want to hear about any of that, and storm off.
I've had all of that happen.
Yeah. You know?
But here's the thing is, number one, you're not going to decide. I mean, let's face it. This is a God moment.
Mm-hmm.
If you're at that barbecue or whatever, and the Holy Spirit, because you've been listening to God and praying, and you may be surprised. You may not have thought when you left for that barbecue that you were going to be sharing the gospel with somebody.
Right.
But God picked it, not you.
Mm-hmm.
And he picked you because you're the one through whom the message is going to be delivered. And because of that, he's going to properly resource you. You're going to have all the truth.
That's right.
You know, everything that's true that you can share, and all of his love. And, you know, the thing is, and let's get this straight, folks, all right, especially you longtime Christians, who sometimes shudder, you know, when you get a little pushback from the gospel. You know, God didn't say that when he was loving truthfully through you that it would be a bed of roses.
Oh, yeah.
No. Sometimes you're being sent to people to love them in God's truth, because it's truly true, and they don't need the sweetening, you know, that we might do otherwise. They don't need the diplomacy we'd probably do to keep from having our heads severed, maybe. You know, no. But God knows exactly what they need to hear at that time. You're the instrument of that. And if you will do that, you know, trust God. I mean, it's not a sad thing if you never get invited to that barbecue again because what Barry said, the seeds are planted.
That's right.
And, you know, God has used you mightily. Their lives, they may not see it, but they've been changed, you know, because speaking the truth in love is what the church has to do. And friends, if you also look around in our culture today and you say, where has the church been when all of these horrible things, you know, have been happening, when laws have been passed and killing babies and, you know, all the gender, you know, craziness and everything like that? Well, I got to tell you that a lot of the church has not been speaking the truth in love, right?
That's right.
It's either been speaking the truth without love. Now, what happens when you speak the truth without love?
Oh, you become one of those haters out there, David. You know, those people that hate everybody and they're judgmental.
Oh, you know, religious.
Curmudgeon.
The religious curmudgeonly spirit. Legalism. Legalist, you know, flailing away at people with the word of God, and they're dripping, you know, their body parts are flying all over the place, and they don't know what's going on because it's just, yeah, the truth. And I don't think then if you're being flailed away and you're bleeding because someone is giving you a tongue lashing in the spirit, you know, folks, that is not God's truth anyway.
No.
You know, but a lot of people do that, and that's their shtick. You know, that's how they do things.
Yes, they feel that if you hit them hard enough with a Bible, it's going to penetrate the skull.
And, well, it might, but then,
and if you
then you're arrested for aggravated assault, right?
Yes, and if you judge them, then later on they'll come crawling back. You know, you know, when you were talking about speaking the love and truth under difficult conditions, I couldn't help but think of Jonah and Nineveh.
Yeah,
and how unexpected the turnout was. Where he had this fear of, they're going to kill me. I don't like them anyway, so I'm not going. And, well, we all know what happened to him.
He got a little
sideline there.
Yes.
But he did go back, and his word was received.
Yeah.
And they processed the word of God, and they changed.
Amen.
They changed. And, you know, we can learn a lot from that, because when you duck and hide from your assignment, your divine appointment, and say, I don't want to do that, I'm not comfortable doing that, I'm not qualified to do that, and you've rationalized all of these reasons, all these things, well, tell you what, God still picked you anyway.
He did.
And it's amazing what happens when you follow through, and you just, you put your shoulders back and say, okay, I trust you, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
What will happen? Not only to the people that you're bringing the truth to, but what happens to you in your spiritual growth? Because you know that's another level that you've gone to in your Christian life.
Amen.
And you could look back on other times in your life where maybe you're a little challenged, maybe self-doubting, and then you say, no, wait a minute, I listened to him before and I followed through and things worked out.
Yeah.
And if they didn't work out, you may hear later on that several of the people that you shared this love and truth changed.
Yeah.
Sometimes we get to see that, David. We don't always get to see the fruit of our labor.
We don't, and that's another thing, is we don't need to. It's wonderful when it happens. I think sometimes God just allows that so we can be blessed, you know. But we're moving on, you know, and we're planting the seeds of the gospel, and you know, if we don't see the harvest, somebody else is pulling it in.
That's right.
That alone is a blessing to us. But back to, you know, we talked about what if you have truth but no love, it sort of becomes a painful environment. But on the other side, then, what if you have love but no divine truth?
You have a church that's ineffective and not giving people the whole story.
Yeah.
You're not equipping them to live a full life as a Christian. Now, it does fill up church pews.
Yeah.
Because, hey, I went in there and they didn't say I was doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
And so I guess I'm not that bad.
Well, and if the thing is in balance, God's love and God's truth support each other. They're blessed by God. The fullness and richness of those two realities coming together bring the substance of the message of the gospel to people. And it blesses the church. It gives the church energy, you know, that kind of, wow, man, things are really going. I'm really full of this wonderful gift of the Spirit, you know, because I know God's true and he loves me, you know. But also, when God's truth and God's love come together, we we do have the conviction of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And for us who believe, you know, that conviction of the Holy Spirit is a necessity because it keeps us on track. You know, I tend to wander sometimes from the path of righteousness because I'm broken. Yeah, I'm a human being, but that always brings me back, which in itself for others is a powerful witness if they don't know the Lord and they're wandering all over the place. You know, well, what I call pinballing, you know.
Pinballing, and it comes down to this. You need to have a Christian accountability partner. You need to have corporate mm-hmm. worship that keeps you
That's right.
moving in the right direction with God and not creating your own new, brand new religion.
Yeah.
You know, for 2,000 years, the folks had this truth, but, you know, I'm pretty smart, and I reinterpreted all this, and now I know the truth.
Yeah.
I, me.
Yeah, you know, really. And, you know, the churches that have adopted a posture of loving without the truth, they're the ones we look at and we hear them talking about universal salvation. Everybody's saved. Everybody's going to heaven. You know, everybody's a happy little group, you know, nobody mm-hmm. does any, because they don't talk about sin in the sense of we've got to have that has to be expressed mm-hmm. to us, because we know we sin. We have to understand what unrepentant sin does to us, you know, because it gets us on the pathway to hell, basically.
Pathway to hell, and you can't completely embrace God anymore until you offload that.
Yeah,
you can't fully be fulfilled.
Yeah,
you can't fully love, or in many cases you can't even be loved because you're just a difficult person to be around because you have a lot of regret in your heart.
That's right.
And you get blinded to the truth because you begin to rationalize.
Yeah.
And when you rationalize, then you're heading toward the great liar who makes everything a rationalization.
Yeah, and then where does that come from? Well, that's from we talked about the prince of liars,
mm-hmm.
The devil. And he then has you right in his court.
Right.
And he's feeding you the lions and you're buying it. Even though part of you is saying, there's nothing wrong with this, you know.
You know, David, years ago I used to work in intensive care as a healthcare professional, and we had this little nurse on night shift, and she was just a little tiny thing, maybe 5 foot tall, and she was always happy.
Yeah.
She was always talking to herself. That's what people, oh, there she is, she's talking to herself. No, she had a running conversation with Christ all the way through her 12-hour night shift.
Wow.
And people began to make fun of her. And it got uncomfortable because they were running around doing impressions of this nurse and her babbling and things. Mm. And then things got bad. People began to catch diseases that were incurable or scary. And I'm talking about the staff.
Yes.
And over a period of a year, in the middle of the night, I would see them, those who were skeptical of her and her truth, which was painful for them to hear, they were seeking her out for prayer.
Yeah.
There's something called report at the end of each shift, where one shift gives report to the next shift. And then I would see them going off with her to a quiet corner of the ICU. Mm. And she would pray over them, put her hands on their head and their shoulder and pray over them. And the truth was something they were hungry for, mm-hmm. but they didn't call it that. They just knew she had something they did not.
Yeah.
And their lives were becoming a hot mess. And she was just a steady Eddie there.
Mm.
She was always full of love and compassion. And she was fulfilled in every hour of every shift that she worked. They wanted that.
The distinct difference between her and those people that didn't have Jesus
mm-hmm.
is underscored in verse 14 of the Ephesians 4 reading,
right,
where it says that, and I'll just add before this, that if we do, if we have the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and also add to that, if we're speaking the truth in love,
mm-hmm.
Then we are no longer like children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. And the folks in that ER, like so many other people you and I both know,
mm-hmm.
they don't have the Lord, and their lives are wildly chaotic.
That's right.
You know,
up and down and all
man.
Around.
Talk about pinballing.
Yeah.
All over the place. They don't have a root. You know, they have nothing to secure them. And, you know, that faith that we, that gift of faith we get when we invite Jesus into our hearts roots us. And that's, again, another thing people hunger for.
Well, you know, if you're attending a church, like you said, that's weak and lax, and then things get rough.
Yeah.
You know, a death in the family, a divorce, a job loss, a house loss, and on, you know, life does that.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, are you going to go to your feel-good place where you think you're going to get spiritually fed? No. No, because that's where you go for your good times.
Yeah.
This is serious stuff.
Yeah.
I've heard that before from people that go to what they called a good time church.
Mm-hmm.
And then things got rough, and they felt lost. Or they, to quote them, this one particular woman said, "I suddenly found myself unchurched because this isn't what I needed."
Yes.
You know, I needed Christ, not this.
There's a number of churches out there. We're not prejudiced here against denominations.
No, we're not.
Because there are wonderful churches in every denomination. They're God-loving, you know, God-serving churches all over. But if you're in a church that you're left wanting at the end of the service, if the sermons are not biblically based, if you're not being given good tools to live your life, you know, as the way God would have you live it, if you feel cast adrift, you might just ask the Lord to take you to another church. We've recommended this before.
Yes, we have, because you know, you need to be spiritually fed, or you're going to spiritually starve to death.
Yeah.
And if you're sitting in church and the service is over and the greetings are done and you get in your car and you think, I still feel the same way that I did when I walked in here. I've got a heartache about something and it's still there, and I don't have a tool, like David just said, to deal with it. Now what do I do?
I'm reminded of, I'm not going to mention the pastor's name. He's probably gone to be with the Lord, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
It was several. It was like almost 40 years ago that I went to a church that some family members were going to, and at Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
And we were invited to join them, and we chose to do so. And this was the Christmas Eve service. And the pastor, lovely man, I mean, a good-hearted man. But his sermon had to do with the Christmas hymn that he loved the most, which could have led to talking about the gospel. But he hovered around the author of it and when it was written and the times it was written in. And, you know, he touched on some of the words, but there was no Jesus in there. It was kind of
a historical perspective of the song.
A historical perspective of the song. There was some, you know, some little emotive moments when, you know, but in all of that, there was no Jesus. If I had not already known the Lord, you know, I would certainly not have found him in that. It was a feel-good sermon, absolutely. But folks, we don't need feel-good sermons. You know, unless it's a Bible-based, God, Holy Spirit-guided sermon that either opens up our vision of what God is doing and shows us our part in all that, or reaches down inside of us to point out areas where we need to grow, to be cleansed, to be renewed, to be filled, those kind of sermons. Yeah, at the end of it, you're getting a blessing. You're getting something that you can take home, and it's going to grow you up.
And you can share that and plant more seeds.
Yeah. I would get, if that guy had read from the phone book, I would have gotten much more out of it than what he did. But
yeah.
Typical. He's a typical type of guy, avoiding all the real issues, you know?
Yeah. And that's not going to help you on your day where let's say you haven't accepted the Lord, and let's say you're having a heart attack, and let's say you're drawing your last breath.
Yeah.
Gee whiz, I certainly wish I would have heard a little bit more about this. The truth, David. The truth.
And the truth in love. Those two things, the dynamic work of the Holy Spirit is just going to, every time you get the truth in love, it just bumps you up to another level. It cleans you out. It gets you ready. It gives you a vision. And what does the Isaiah say? Without a vision, the people perish. Mm-hmm. Well, there's enough of that going on in the church. Let's start giving vision, sharing the gospel, getting out there, powerful love and truth sermons, and get people ready for what is coming.
Amen, folks, brother. Yes.
You know, really.
It is coming.
It's on the way.
Yeah.
It's on the way, and
you
we need to be ready.
You can't postpone it. You can't cancel it.
Nope.
Even cancel culture can't cancel it.
Yeah, really, no. They have no power to do any of that.
That's right.
You know? I'll quickly reminded of one time I worked, I told you about prison ministry, and the guy that ran it was an ex-con who met Jesus,
mm-hmm.
really total 24-karat Christian, as I like to say.
Right.
A total truth and love guy. And he did that to me one time because I had misspoke about some of the things I could do when I came to volunteer in the ministry. Later on, I was a staff member, but then, and so I wasn't doing what I said I could do. And so he sat me down. Here was a guy who was a made guy, right? If you don't know what that means, I'm not going to explain it. But, you know, he did things to people where they stopped living. And so...
I know what that
is. You know what that is. And yeah. So, but he leans over, he says to me, because he lays it out, speaking the truth in love, David, you lied to me. You lied to me. He said, now here's the deal. He said, this ministry is like a train. It's moving fast. You're on the tracks. You can do one of two things. You can stand in the way of the train and get run over, or you can jump on the train and go with God because this train is on the move. What do you want to do?
Mm.
And, you know, I was convicted. I said, well, you know, Frank was his name, and he was being frank with me too. So I said, you know, I apologize. I repented. Man, the Spirit got a hold of me. But the truth in love got me to repent and got me focused. And at that point, then I could see what he wanted me to do. And I'll tell you, for the next 3 years, I did that.
You did it.
Oh, what a wonderful journey. But I have to say, we're out of time, Barry.
Already?
I know.
It just started.
Well, it just started, but it's, you know, these minutes fly by when you're having fun.
That's right.
So, friends, we keep you in prayer every day. God bless you, especially those. If you've heard something tonight and you want to know more about it, we'd love to hear from you. You can call the radio station at 888-221-8990. It's a toll-free number. And tell the people to answer, hey, I want to speak to one of those pastors, Pastor Barry, Pastor Dave. And they'll make sure we get the message.
Amen to that.
Until next week, be blessed, and we love you.
Bless you. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word.
That we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified.
And receive renewed hope. That the Lord is on the move.
And His perfect plan is unfolding in our time.